Some government officials and financial analysts say the United States is not in a recession, but the recent spate of bank failures and government bailout certainly echoes the Great Depression. This week, Lehman Brothers announced a loss of nearly $4 billion. The New York Times reports today that Federal Reserve officials in New York met with the heads of several major Wall Street firms last night to urge them to save the investment bank. Joe Nocera, a friend from the business world, joins us now from member station WBUR in Boston. Joe, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
And let's start with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The government had hoped that taking them over would calm the markets, but that doesn't seem to be the case this week. What happened?
It sure doesn't. It's almost as if the minute the government stops thinking about one failing institution, another one starts to fail. I mean, that is what it feels like. First it was Bear Stearns, then Fannie and Freddie. Now it's Lehman, you know, and then you've got Washington Mutual and Merrill Lynch in the background all having their problems. I mean, the problem is that all of these firms hold the same lousy securities, mortgage-backed derivatives and securities. And, you know, just because you prop up Fannie and Freddie doesn't mean Lehman Brothers' bad securities are getting any better. In fact, they're getting worse. And so, you know, Lehman, it has not taken steps commensurate with the problem. I mean, they were still buying back stock earlier this year, which is crazy because it needs every penny of capital that it can get. Dick Fuld, who's the chairman of Lehman, pre-announced this $4 billion loss this week and also announced a series of steps they were going to take to revive the firm and get them back on good footing. And the truth is, nobody believed them. And so now there's a crisis of confidence along with a crisis of capital.
Are we looking at potential government bailout again, this time with Lehman Brothers?
Here's the problem, Scott. The government doesn't want to make another firm whole from losses like it did with Bear Stearns. It was basically said that it will absorb up to $29 billion of losses if that's how it plays out with J.P. Morgan, which took over Bear. It doesn't want to do that again. It's now on the hook for potentially tens of billions of dollars with Fannie Freddie. So it feels like it's already kind of up to its neck in bad loans. This is what moral hazard's all about. You bailed out Bear Stearns, now you got to bail out Lehman. And if you don't bail out Lehman, then why did you bail out Bear Stearns? If Lehman can fold and it doesn't bring down the financial system, which was the fear with Bear Stearns, then didn't you just let the Bear Stearns guys get off the hook? This is the essence of what moral hazard is all about.
Is there any resolution that won't be worse still for individual homeowners?
The short answer is no. The thing that really mattered to homeowners, to individual homeowners, is not Lehman or Bear, it's Fannie Freddie. Because Fannie Freddie's job is to guarantee and buy mortgages from individual homeowners as it goes up the food chain. Mm-hmm. They buy them from the bank. If Fannie and Freddie had been allowed to fail, the only institution in the United States that would be backing mortgages at this point would be the FHA. And that's not enough. And the housing market would have frozen. So salvaging Fannie and Freddie was actually vastly more important than either Bear Stearns or Lehman Brothers.
Let's sweep aside the moral hazard argument. Are there practical hazards in letting Lehman Brothers fail?
That is what everybody fears and nobody knows. It's such a huge risk. You know, we just don't know what would have happened if Bear Stearns failed, just as we just don't know what would happen if Lehman fails. But everybody's scared that something truly terrible and traumatic would happen, and that's why they're so loath to let one of these companies go under, even though that may be the fate that they deserve.
Joe Nocera, who writes the Talking Business column for the New York Times. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.